Studio with James Dixon. Today we'll talk with Ruth Wickler Luker, founder and curator of Boom Arts, an organization dedicated to presenting provocative international contemporary plays.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Social Justice Action Center Open House, Tuesday, October 4th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. at 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. Rents in Portland are rising, and long-term grassroots institutions are being forced out. But the Social Justice Action Center is bucking that trend. The Social Justice Action Center will be sharing their model for grassroots organizing in the heart of Portland, especially by and for marginalized communities and organizers of color. There will also be information on getting involved with the center, a silent auction, music, and much more. Again, that's the Social Justice Action Center Open House, Tuesday, October 4th, starting at 5:30 p.m. at 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. On today's show, our special guest, Ruth Wickler Luker, curator and producer for Boom Arts. Boom Arts has been a fairly new gym to Portland for about 4 years now, with a focus on contemporary theater and performance from around the world. Boom Arts focuses on building cross-cultural bridges and, quote, sparking community conversations about important issues. Today, we will be discussing their fifth season at Boom Arts and their upcoming show, The Wong Street Journal, written and performed by Christina Wong and directed by Emily Mendelson, opening next week. Stay with us for Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. Joining me in the KBOO studio today, we have Ruth Wickler Luker, curator and producer for Boom Arts, which brought us the Portland premiere performance of The Wong Street Journal, performed and written by Christina Wong and directed by Emily Middleton. Ruth, welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so happy to have you. So, Ruth, it's your fifth season?
Yes, this is our fifth season. And Boom Arts is a unique entity in Portland. We're what I call a boutique presenter and producer of contemporary theater and performance from around the world. And as a curator, I have a kind of specific journey that I'm on and that I'm excited to share with audiences. So basically what I'm looking for is works and artists who are at the crossroads of artistic adventuresomeness, mm-hmm. and social engagement. So artists who are both doing exciting things artistically and also have a social justice commitment and interesting artistic languages through which they can talk about issues that and the world around them.
Right. So, and you answered my next question. You don't categorize yourself as a theater company. You're a theater boutique. So what makes you different from other arts organizations in Portland?
Well, we kind of have one foot in the theater community and then another foot in the kind of performing arts presenting, as they call it. So what that means is that we will bring a touring production to Portland rather than produce the full production here, but we also do some producing as well. So our programming is more bound together by the kind of substance and content and by the variety in artistic form than it is by kind of how we bring it to you.
Do you ever produce any local works with local artists? Because you have a lot of international artists that you bring in, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for those very unique artist-led projects. So like I said, we did produce a local artist, Alicia Jo Rabins. She created an experimental song cycle about Bernard Madoff and his financial fraud. And it was extremely unique. She is both a poet and a Torah scholar and also a musician that works with electroacoustic music. And so she created this very unique piece that we also incorporated animation. And it was quite beautiful and original.
Oh, wow. So what is your connection with the community, with the work that you do?
Yeah, the Boomers family is growing and growing. It's really exciting to see. And actually, the development and growth of the organization has been very much in tandem with and in response to community response. One thing about our work is that because we have a very diverse artist, diverse programming, diverse artists, different works that we have appeal to different members of our community. And that's actually a real strength in the sense that, you know, somebody who doesn't necessarily see theater very often might be drawn to a particular project of ours. That said, we do have kind of a core audience group, and also our, as you said, people who are support the kind of work that we do and are ready to help us to grow are always very welcome and invited. There's ways to volunteer. We have 3 wonderful interns that are just starting. We have ushers for every show. It's a good way to see the shows for free.
I've been an arts intern before.
Yeah, you know, we need a lot of help. I mean, we're a small entity. We're a small outfit with a big vision. So we, you know, appreciate all the community involvement that we can have.
Right. So for people that are coming in for the first time, what can they expect? What is the environment like for people that are experiencing? Because I would imagine this experience at Boom Arts would be a lot different than other typical shows that we see in Portland. I mean, there's Guys and Dolls and things like that, but a lot of people love really thick content. And is there something that you want them to take home with them? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think one fun thing about us is that at this point we're itinerant. What that means is that we produce work in lots of different environments. And so last spring we did a site-specific piece where you would go to the Portland Art Museum and have an actor perform for you amid the galleries. Mostly we're in theater spaces. So this year we're in a little theater in North Portland called the Headwaters in the fall. We're also going to be at multiple colleges in the spring, and then we'll also end up the season at Disjecta.
Right.
So you might find Boom Arts events in lots of different environments. The opportunity for me is that I can find the right space for a particular work. And then also that, you know, a space where that can be opening and welcoming to people who will find their way there because of the content or because of the subject matter.
It's got to be one of the hardest parts is like finding the right space to have the work. And
you know, there's always a logistical layer on everything. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, the back end of what I do has a lot of logistics in it. But it's also a real opportunity, like I said, because, you know, not when you have a fixed location, you're looking for works that fit your location. When you don't, you're looking for the right works.
Right.
So again, for me, it's an opportunity to say, well, you know, we were, for example, this year we're able to be part of a national tour of a Chilean puppet company in the spring.
Oh, wow.
That's bringing a wordless 1 hour long piece of little white puppets that's about a Chilean miner's family.
Wow.
And it's very, very beautiful. So, you know, for that environment, you need complete darkness. You know,
right.
You need stillness. You need sort of a beautiful, serene environment. So we were able to partner with Reed College, which has a beautiful new performing arts building. And inside of that, they have a black box theater. And they're welcoming us for those performances.
I have not seen a show at Reed University. And I would imagine that, would you say a lot of your shows are more intimate? Like, are they pretty much all in studio environments, like black box environments?
Or? Yeah, because we're not working with very big acts. My excitement is to seek out these artists who are sort of taking risks. And rarely can you take a risk and also sell out, you know, a 7,000 seat house or whatever.
Right. So what are your other shows in your fifth season? What's going on this season?
I'm super excited about it. We've got 4 touring works, and then we were launching a new initiative in mid-year, which I'll tell about that. So we're opening with Christina Wong, and then the next show we're bringing back a greatest hit from last year, Adrian Trescott, who's also a comedian and performance artist, very topical work about a feminist issue.
Right.
And so we're bringing that back in December. Then in the spring, the other 2 presenting projects are this Chilean puppet company. And then we're also doing the Portland premiere of a hip hop theater piece by Dalak Brathwaite, who's a deaf poetry jam alum and spoken word person.
Wow, that's
poet,
amazing.
Performing with a live DJ. So that's going to be quite amazing as well. And then mid-year, we've had over the years a kind of commitment that I am very dedicated to towards international plays in translation. There are some theaters in Portland that have kind of particular cultural affinities that produce international plays in translation, but we're the only ones that are really continuing to do that with a global view.
Right.
And so we've condensed this into a lab this year that's going to happen at Portland State University in early February, where we've invited a number of directors to tackle some international plays in translation through doing readings and workshops of these works so that they get kind of deeply familiar with plays that they wouldn't encounter otherwise. So we've got a new play from Peru that's about the Shining Path violence in the 80s. We've got a great play from Turkey that's about kind of legacy of poverty in the slums, and a number of other plays, as well as there's a piece from Indonesia about migrant workers in Bali. And actually, we're doing that as well at the Asian Theater Festival.
This brought up something for me. So I would imagine a lot of theater goers in Portland are used to seeing what we would classify as American theater. So bringing international works in, it's probably a much different type of experience.
Well, I think when you see a play about a culture that's not yours, the wonderful thing about it is that maybe you're a little out of your comfort zone.
Right.
Maybe it's not as natural. But you use that same magic of theater where you empathize with the characters, even if they're from an existing in a totally different context than you're used to.
Right.
So there's a kind of magical connection. That's why partly we say that we build cross-cultural bridges, because when you see a play about migrant workers in Bali, you know, and they're experiencing something, because you're in the room with the characters as they speak to you, you're connecting with them. You're finding
right.
points of connection that, you know, you wouldn't by just reading a newspaper article or something like that.
From what I understand, you have talkback discussions after every performance or just certain performances?
I would say most of them.
What's the focus of those talkback discussions?
The way I see it is that the core of what Boom Arts does is the artistic work that we present.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's our job, it's my job as a curator, to make sure and help the audience to really have a rich experience of those works and of their meaning and of the culture behind them and of the artists. And so there's lots of ways we can do that. And one of those ways is just in the theater on that evening, extending the conversation, helping create interaction rather than just watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so post-show discussions are a really big part of that. And then the other part of post-show discussions, which I love, is the opportunity to find members of our community in Portland who have expertise in certain areas that are relevant to the works. And so I've really enjoyed having some scholars involved in quite a few of our post-show discussions. So when we did the song cycle about Bernie Madoff, we had a Jewish studies professor join us one evening. We had an economist join us another evening. And it was absolutely fascinating to kind of hear what they had to say. Similarly, we did a piece about that was an Indian play from Chennai, and the post-show discussions. You know, we had somebody who there were some gender issues that were at the center of it, and we had a gender studies scholar from PSU who was involved in the discussion afterwards. And anyway, so those conversations are really rich. Now, different pieces invite different kinds of discussions.
Right.
And Christina Wong's show coming up, it's less of a scholarly discussion that we're going to have and more focused on integrating community voices and also just kind of giving audiences a chance to kind of hear from artists and community members who have things in, you know, who can relate to the shows as
right.
well in the content.
Once again, for those of you that are just now joining us, you are listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. And joining us today is Ruth Wickler-Luker, curator and producer for Boom Arts. Christina Wong, tell us about the show. Let's dive in. We're ready.
Okay, yeah. So the show we're opening with is called The Wong Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
So Christina Wong is a activist, artist, performance artist, a comedian, provocateur. She works in across many different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
One of the platforms she works in is creating solo shows and touring them. And so this latest show that she has is called The Wong Street Journal, and it's about what I say is it's about making a difference in an unequal world,
mm-hmm.
But it's very, very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know,
I definitely recommend the YouTube videos. I was like, oh my God, I have to meet this person. She's amazing.
So it's not, this is, you know, one thing I have a particular affinity for is finding works that have kind of a fresh perspective mm-hmm. on a topic that is rarely discussed in an arts environment. And certainly humanitarian aid and, you know, first world, third world relations and stuff like that is rarely the topic of arts, performing arts projects. And that's what this is about. So Christina Wong, it starts off with her kind of complaining about our armchair activism and what are the limitations of our armchair activism.
Mm-hmm.
So then she decides she's going to get on a plane and go to northern Uganda as a volunteerist, which means she pays money to be able to give her time and help at an NGO. in a little village. So she goes there, and then she kind of has some certain misadventures. She falls in with a group of rappers who are making an album, and it turns out that as an arts entrepreneur or whatever, she can actually bring her real skills to the table and help them produce it.
Great.
And the other thing about Christina that I love is that she's totally internet savvy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so the, internet culture is absolutely permeates this piece. So, if you're 16 years old, you're going to absolutely love it. Rarely do you see theater that is, has this stuff integrated so successfully.
Right.
One exciting thing is that she's performing here at Asian American Theater Festival in Ashland first before she comes up to Portland.
Okay.
So there will be some Portlanders who are down there at the conference who are going to be able to see the show and then come up. Also through that, the Multnomah County Library has an exhibit up at the Central Library about Christina Wong's and her piece and Boom Arts and all this. So that's really exciting to be part of that larger exhibit about the Asian American Theater Festival. Once she gets here, she's going to be doing 2 weeks worth of performances at the Headwaters, which is a teeny little theater in North Portland. We have post-show discussions scheduled from every night. There'll either be talking with the artists or talking with some guests. Notably, we have on October 14th, we're going to have two guests, Candace Kita from APANO, which is the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, and then Dime Roberts, your colleague. So that will be exciting. And then October 20th, we're going to have a number of representatives of groups that are based in Portland but are connecting Africa with Portland through the arts. So just that'll help us sort of folks to learn about what endeavors are happening currently. So the Cascade Festival of African Films, Oboadi Legacy Project, and the Africa Hip Hop Caravan. Let's see, on October 21st, we have Mike Crenshaw of the Africa Hip Hop Caravan is going to join us. And then on October 22nd, Pamela Santos of Pacific Underground here on KBOO. So we've got a pretty great lineup of post-show discussions. And, that really enriches the
And we're going to talk to Mike Crenshaw here in just a bit. So Christina Wong is based out of Los Angeles and unable to attend today. But thanks to modern technology, we have some audio to share with you about her work. Let's have a listen.
I'm Asian. Surprise! And to my parents' grave disappointment, I am not a Wall Street trader nor captain of industry. I am a performance artist who fights for the marginalized. And here is where I do my best work. The armchair. And this is what I use to take them all down. The iPad.
Christina, you cannot have an existential crisis right now. Existential crises are for those women who read, eat, pray, love. I'll go to hashtag Africa. The dark continent. Brought to you by white people. You know, here we call you Mzungu. That is Swahili for white person.
White privilege.
I'm not doing this work because I want everybody to love me all the time. Like, if I did that, there'd be easier ways. It's like, how can I find humor in this situation? How can I get inside this situation like a Trojan horse?
And let's just name out different kinds of Asian ethnicities that I will portray in a non-offensive way. Just shout them out, and we'll make sure that they are represented. I want to place your orders. Come on, go ahead. Japanese, thank you, sir. Koreans. Thai. Laotian, great, we got them all. Wonderful.
Is this a performance? Is it like a, are these jokes? What is this? And then it kind of, when it kind of lures you in with the entertainment aspect of it, you get the punchline gets you, and all of a sudden you've got knowledge dropped on you.
And if I fight it constantly with anger, I think that's the man getting me twice, right? Once when they've made fun of me, and second time by getting me to be angry.
I'm personally excited to see the show. Where can we buy tickets?
We only use our internet site because we're itinerant. So you'll have to go to our website, which is boomarts.org.
Nice.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears a bit before we close. I read a recent blog on Willamette Weekly titled You Can't Be What You Can't See, which is their Falls art guide highlighting works by women and people of color. I noticed that there were no white male artists in your programming for this season. What does programming diverse artists in Portland mean to you as an organization?
Well, I think for us, Portland's a sort of unique cultural environment. For me, I moved here about 6 years ago from New York City, and I came and sort of tried to survey the scene and see what kind of artworks were not being programmed, what kind of voices, artistic voices, weren't, in my opinion, loud enough or heard. And so as a kind of cultural organizer person, that I sort of saw it as my job to change that and program works that needed to be seen. And as I said, the way I kind of construe my own work is that I, you know, seek out projects and share them with my community and try and find works that really will resonate for different reasons here. For me, a big part of what the duty of a cultural organizer is about modeling a city through the arts that we want to be in. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that vision is of a city that is more, has a, you know, cacophony of voices, and we're all important. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Certainly I think that if we were in a different time or place or something like that, maybe this wouldn't be my number one agenda.
Right.
But here in Portland, that's the job that needs to be done.
That's pretty amazing. So we have a special guest, cultural activist Mike Crenshaw, who's collaborating some work with Boom Arts. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
Tell us about the work you're doing with Boom Arts.
I just found out about Boom Arts this year, and Ruth invited me to be part of the run of the Wong Street Journal with Christina Wong, mm-hmm. Based on what might be some intersections in our experience around time we spent in Africa with hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
But she came at it from a totally different place than I did. You know, I'm part of an annual hip-hop project that tours the continent of Africa, and she did some work with people in Uganda. So it'll be interesting to see how our stories mix. My work is based in human rights and justice activism, and her play is going to be a little bit more lighthearted than a lot of how I'm oriented to work in Africa. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to checking out the play and seeing what similarities we have in common. And then there's this other brother, Dalek, that's got Spirit Trials, that's going to be talking. It's a one-person show, and he's going to be talking about his experience with recovery and being involved in the criminal justice system and using hip-hop to do it. And I saw a brief piece of his performance, and I was really excited, me being a hip-hop artist. So I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on and people from diverse cultural experiences.
Would you say that's a heavy reason why people should get involved at Boom Arts? I'm sure a lot of people are just now hearing about them and hearing about their work. Why should they devote their efforts and get involved as a community member with Boom Arts?
Well, one of the things we often hear about is how culturally homogenous Portland is.
Mm.
You know, it gets a lot of people say that it's the whitest city in America and so on and so forth. And so having an opportunity to have access to people's experiences that are actually a reflection of something that's deeper and that goes beyond that stereotype about the city, I think, is important. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, supporting institutions that bring that type of experience to the public is something that we need to do.
That's amazing. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thank you.
Once again, for those of you that are just now joining us, you are listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today is Ruth Wickler-Luker, curator and producer for Boom Arts. The Portland premiere of the Wong Street Journal will happen next Thursday, October 13th through the 15th, and October 20th through the 23rd. These performances will be hosted at Headwaters Theater, located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street, right here in Portland. For ticket information, visit their website at www.boomarts.org. Ruth, a tremendous thanks to you for joining us today. Happy opening.
Thank you so much.
Before we close our segment, I just want to take a chance to highlight some events coming up. Profile Theater and Community Dreams Productions brings us the staged reading of Hazardous Beauty, written by Bonnie Ratner, directed by Josie Seed, and starring Skeeter Green. The final performance of Hazardous Beauty will be performed tonight on the Alder Stage at Artist Repertory Theater, located at 1515 Southwest Morrison Avenue. Once again, the final performance is tonight. This is a free event, but reservations are required. Reserve your seat by visiting Profile Theater's website at www.profiletheater.org. Click on In Dialogue Series and Staged Readings. Once again, that is tonight. Don't miss out. Triangle Productions is proud to launch its newest outreach program called the Brown Paperback Series. chosen out of several dozen anti-lynching plays, most written by African-American women between 1916 and 1934, are 4-1-X, which will be presented through spring of 2017 in the Portland metro area. In light of recent violent acts against people of color, they are sharing these plays in ways which elicit greater understanding of yesterday's events relating to today's environment. Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., they feature Blue-Eyed Black Boy, written by Georgia Douglas Johnson and directed by Andrea White, starring Skeeter Green, Josie Seed, Rochelle Schmidt, and yours truly. This staged reading will be performed at The Sanctuary, located at 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Once again, the show starts at 7 p.m., and there will be a talkback discussion afterward. For ticket information, visit their website at www.triangopro.org. Scroll down to the Brown Paper Bag series and click more info. On this coming Friday, October 7th, Portland Story Theater is featuring their season opener with Urban Tellers. At Urban Tellers, listeners are invited to embark on a shared experience that is a potent blend of vulnerability and heart. It's an evening of discovery, connection, and honesty woven together in a tapestry of shared experiences. Urban Tellers will be featured at Portland Story Theater's new location at the Fremont, located at 2393 Northeast Fremont. Tickets can be purchased in advance or the day of, and for more information, visit their website at www.pdxstorytheater.org and click on tickets. Doors at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8. Defunct is thrilled to bring one of the most celebrated and exciting plays of the past 10 years to Portland. As Christopher Isherwood of the New York Times writes, perhaps no play this year inspired a greater sense of awe than Taylor Mack's audacious dive into the dysfunctional family playpen of American theater. In his depiction of a semi-mad housewife with a transgender son, another son reeling from 3 years in combat in Afghanistan, and a husband whose disabling stroke has rendered him nearly speechless. Defunct's own Andrew Claus Vineyard directs this Portland premiere from a unique, exhilarating voice in American theater. It runs October 7th through November 12th, with performances on Thursdays through Sundays at 7:30 p.m. There will be no show on October 9th. Here will be performed at the Backdoor Theater, located at 4321 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Enter through Common Grounds Coffee Shop. Reservations are encouraged as space is limited. Thursdays and Sundays are pay what you will. And for more ticket information, visit www.defuncttheater.com. Or call 503-974-4938. Definitely recommend Defunct. It's one of my favorite theaters in town. The Ray Warren Symposium on Race and Ethnic Studies seeks work for the art exhibition that engages with the theme of home in relation to race and ethnicity. Topics such as family, migration, and housing policy are only some ideas of how to interpret this year's theme in one's artwork. Submit pieces to rysympart@lclark.edu. Once again, that's rysympart@lclark.edu. Submissions are due by Wednesday, October 12th at 6 p.m. Please submit 2 to 5 images, including full work, title of work, materials used, dimensions, and a short artist statement of 100 to 200 words. That will take place November 9th through the 11th of 2016. But once again, those submissions are due by October 12th. Tabor Space will be featuring the Moved by Words Festival on October 21st through the 23rd, featuring writers from the Unchaste Readers community. The final lineup is going to be announced on their Facebook page or on their website. And that website is www.movedbywords.org. Once again, that's Moved by Words Festival at Tabor Space, which is located at 5441 Southeast Belmont Street. Lionstorm Playwrights, in association with Artist Repertory Theater, present Portland in Play, A Story on Every Street. 10 10-minute plays by 10 local playwrights from Forest Park to Foster Road, from the airport to the aerial tram. These plays explore our unique city with humor and heart. These stage readings are directed by Debbie Lamitman, featuring works by Sarah Jean Aguardi, Brianna Barrett, Audrey Block, Susan Faust, Miriam Fetter, E.M. Lewis, Naga Nataka, Rich Rubin, Josie Seed, and Lolly Ward. These stage readings are free. Donations are accepted at the door. Once again, that performance will take place Monday, October 7th, 7:30 till 9:30, as well as Tuesday, October 18th, same time, 7:30 to 9:30. For more information, contact info@linestormplaywrights.com. Once again, that's info@linestormplaywrights.com. In other community events, Preserve Coalition 2016 Talk and Taste Series brings us the 2016 Talk and Taste Series. On October 29th, from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m., they offer tips for healthy aging. The Portland Alzheimer's Association will present healthy habits for brain and body. SHARP, a new African-American walking program developed at OHSU, will share historical neighborhood walking routes to try. This event will be held at the June Key Delta Community Center at 5940 North Albina Avenue. For more information about the event, please contact Tiffany Kirkpatrick at 503-494-2000. 2367. DELAB celebrates Black kinship and love, a space for single and coupled people of the African diaspora to learn and love better through events which promote healthy connections. DELAB is an event series designed to change the narrative of Black love. DELAB was created for and by Black folks as a safe space for singles to meet other singles, couples to meet other couple friends, and couples and singles to learn from one another in a supportive environment. They'll be hosting game nights, group dinners, workshops, outdoor outings, and more. Through love and friendship, they hope to promote healing, accountability, and healthy connections within the Black community. For more information on DELAB, visit their website at DELABPDX.com, DALABPDX.com. If you missed any of this interview, you can listen online later today at kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also get post events or get previews by joining our Facebook page. And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to our engineer, Steve Nasser. Till next week, I'm James Dixon with Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 11:29. Coming up next is Art Focus with Andre Middleton. Today we'll speak with Danny Diana Peebles, also known as Neo G Yo, a vocalist, performer, and writer who paints soundscapes by exploring the nature of duality.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Sex and Broadcasting, will play Thursday, October 13th at 7 p.m. Sex and Broadcasting is a documentary about the revolutionary independent radio station WFMU and its station manager, Ken Friedman. The film explores the question of how to do interesting, cool, culturally significant radio and internet broadcasting while being a sustainable institution.
I just want there to be a WFMU. I want WFMU to exist as a place where people can go who don't fit in, where people can go to find things that have been hidden.
Again, that's Sex and Broadcasting, Thursday, October 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage.
Music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds. And this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio, and I'm your host, Andre Middleton.